Welcome to this month's Be Yourself at Work cast for the I Am a Monthly. This month in the UK is Stress Awareness Month, but I also think that stress generally, wherever you are in the world, is a really great subject for us to explore. For those of you who've not met me or heard the podcast before, I'm Liz Villani. I'm the founder of Be Yourself at Work, and I create this monthly podcast to help you to really use your I Am to be your best self and be you every day. So let's talk about stress. I think what I really want to do is kind of just break stress apart for us in today's session, in this month's session, because often when people think about stress, they really think about it negatively. And of course, stress can be really debilitating. But I think not many of us actually break it down and think about the context of stress and the impact that we have on stress itself when we feel or experience it. And we can use our I Am, and we'll look at some tips on using your I Am to really manage pressure and to look at how we can create stress, how we can react to stress, and what we actually really uniquely need, because we're all different, we're all unique. We need to have a different way of managing stress in our working lives and our lives generally. So let's just have a bit of a review of what we mean by stress and what stress can do to us, if you like. And I'm a big believer that the vast majority of stress is self-inflicted. Now, I know many people, when they first hear me say that and share that, they disagree with me. You don't know, Liz, what it's like to be me in my world. But I can tell you now, I've worked with so many people for so long in all different countries around the world, that I can categorically share with you that the vast majority of stress that happens in our lives are actually factors that we're creating within ourselves. And let's just have a look at that for a second. Your inner world. What's it like to be you? How much stress occurs? How much fear and worry and doubt? You know, how much are you going round and round in circles, worrying that you haven't said the right thing or what you could have said? That feeling of self-consciousness, that feeling of fear that something terrible might happen, or what you do want to happen doesn't happen or won't happen. All of these things are circling around a lot of us on the inside the vast majority of the time. Now, we're quite good at distracting ourselves from it, aren't we? So we'll go and keep busy. We'll do the easy things on our to-do list and put the big things off. We'll just not think about it, try not to talk about it. And I think to a certain extent, that's quite good, because you can't possibly go around your life and be successful at work with so many thoughts and fears and feelings circling around your inner world. So we've got to have some strategies to cope with that, but to actually challenge it and to segment what we perceive as stress or fear or worry or doubt on the inside of us. So let's have a look at self-inflicted stress then, if we're blowing all of this apart. Most people, and someone told me once, stress is created when something that we think should be happening isn't, or we want to be somewhere else and we're not. I thought that was, and it stuck with me, I thought that was really interesting. And the core element, and we're already starting to, just in this first few minutes of this month's podcast, hear the underlying undercurrent of accountability, aren't we? So thinking you want to be somewhere else, thinking you want to be doing something else is an inner choice. And so is the sort of self-procrastination and the rolling around of worry that you said the wrong thing or that things won't work out the way you want them to. So we're all pretty good at control. And I think the vast majority of people in my experience that are listening to this podcast would agree with that. But we don't tend to feel like we have much control over how we're feeling or what we're thinking and what we're worrying about. And I really want you to challenge that, because you have so much more control than you actually think that you do. The challenge is to go through the process of actually starting to spend more time consciously in your inner world. So most of us will just go about our world. We won't really sort of think about what we're feeling and thinking on the inside. And we get into these habits and patterns often of negativity on the inside and fear and doubt and worry and stress. So my top tip to begin with when you want to kind of blow stress apart is actually just to start to notice what you're telling yourself and what the language and what the commentary is like going on inside of you. And for some of you, because of who you are, we're all unique, that will be more feelings led than thought led. And for some of us, it's the other way around. We sort of don't necessarily feel as much, we just overthink it. Both of which, and both together, can be a challenging combination. So what do I mean by kind of being more conscious? Start watching. Even if you imagine yourself or even me on your shoulder throughout your days, start noticing and listening and watching your own reactions on the inside. I don't necessarily at this point in the podcast mean about sort of your external reactions, you know, shouting, wave your arms about if you're stressed and those kind of things, or withdrawing. We'll come to our reactions. I just mean how you talk to yourself, how you're rolling ideas around or thoughts or worries or tensions on the inside of you and how conscious you are of that. So just watch. Just, you don't necessarily need to, I've found you don't necessarily need to shift too much and consciously choose at this point. If you just really just start to notice it, and it becomes really fascinating. You notice how much you're comparing yourself to others. You notice how unhappy you are at certain reactions and behaviors. You notice how much you blame other people for a situation. You notice how much you start to dislike yourself as well. So just kind of, you know, see yourself as a window to you. Nobody needs to know you're doing it. And just start to really notice what's going around inside of you. So that's the first thing about blowing apart stress. The second thing I want to do is look at that difference between self-inflicted and created stress and how to manage stress that hasn't come from us in the moment, before we then look at some tips on using your I am to help you to really find your own unique way, if you like, of using stress, not just to manage it, but actually to harness it. Because that's the other thing about stress, is that it's become a word that, you know, is sort of related to real negativity, isn't it? Whereas actually, you know, if you replace the word stress with pressure, a lot of us work really well under pressure. We become much clearer. We have, you know, a much better sense of right and wrong, or make choices or become more decisive. Maybe, you know, spurs us to action. You know, the times when I felt the most stressed, normally around uncertainty in the business or those kind of things, it's really allowed me to be braver, to maybe challenge myself to do things that I wouldn't normally do if everything was going exactly as I wanted it to. And in that sense, I've learned to be even more me and more unique. So there's a real gift in what we term as stress, but actually, if you think about it as pressure, then wow, you know, you can really accelerate things. So I want to have a quick look at that as well. Lots to cover when we think about this topic. So let's just come back to self-inflicted stress then. It's interesting to give you a score out of self out of 10. How much of the stress that you're feeling do you think actually you're self-creating? And I would bet that, in honesty, when you review, when you sit on your shoulder and you review what's happening, at least a score of 7 is probably the average, in my experience, of how much stress we're self-inflicting. And that's because we're not controlling our inner world. So as well as watching, listen to that inner self-talk, notice how critical it is, and then start to watch others. So a really good way of thinking about self-inflicted pressure or stress is to recognize stress in others, because most self-inflicted stress comes from self-doubt and not feeling like we're going to be good enough, and, you know, we're an imposter and we're going to get found out and we're not as good as X, Y, and Z. So I can break that bubble for you right now. It's incredibly rare that I meet anybody who hasn't actually got elements of self-doubt and those things that I've just mentioned. And it's really interesting, once you know that, to watch other people. I don't mean criticize them, that's not what I'm saying, but it's really fascinating to watch the power struggles, to watch how people try and cope with their own inner self-doubt, because you'll start to really recognize it and notice it in others, and that starts to helps you to start breaking it down for yourself. It's also really interesting to kind of just sort of check in on how much you're trusting yourself. I remember challenging myself for a long time on not necessarily going into a conversation with a full plan, because I think that's a common strategy that we use in stressful situations. If I plan it, if I control it, then I know, you know, that everything will potentially be okay. We feel stressed when we can't control things. So I spent a long time forcing myself to go into situations where I didn't actually know what I was going to say or do. And that forced me to trust that I would be okay, that I would have the intelligence or the emotion ability to be able to support, help, read, present, pitch, whatever it happened to be in that moment. And I don't think, in my experience, most of us really trust ourselves. So if you're up for a challenge, it's a good one that I recommend. So the other thing that you can start to do when you think about noticing your inner world and that self-inflicted stress is to start to compartmentalize your thoughts and your feelings. I often talk about the car park. So we've talked about this before. I think we talked about it last month. You know, it doesn't have to be a car park. It could be anything. You know, it could be a chessboard. But, you know, instead of letting everything whirl around you in the moments that count, park them, pause them. You know, whether you're putting them in a slot machine or whether you're parking cars in a car park, you can't think straight. You can't be your best self if you've got 100 million things, especially negative things, circling around you. So find a way to compartmentalize. Good thing to do, I find, is actually to have a really clear mental divide between conversations. So, you know, come off a call with one person and literally just be really present and clear with the next. So you're really, it's like, you know, think about you having your entree, you know, your aperitif or whatever, and then your starter, and then your main course and your dessert and your pudding and your cheese and your coffee if you're having a posh meal. You know, you almost kind of just focus on each course. Try not to let it all blur across into one. So a few other things then to think about in terms of self-inflicted stress. You know, failure is not actually something that we enjoy, but my goodness, we grow when we fail. You know, the more you're challenged, the more resilient you will be. And so seeing failure as growth is a really great way. What can I learn from this? What is it that I could do differently next time? What's inspiring about somebody else's success that I don't feel like I've got yet or will get yet? What's inspiring about that? What does that tell me about where I can go going forward? So really reframing the potential of failure is a good one. And then think about your I am. So reminders on stress with your I am, the bedrock is really important. The values at the bottom of your I am, if you come across other people that aren't like this, or you're not like this, or the environment doesn't reflect these values and this energy, then it can be quite irritating. You know, we get ungrounded. And rather than blaming the situation or standing back, if you actually implement them, so you become more of them, this is good, especially when you're with people who stress you out. By the way, remember, nobody can stress you out, only you can choose your emotional response. But when we come across other people that perhaps we're a little bit more less comfortable with, is probably the word, if I was being diplomatic, really implement and activate your bedrock, amplify it, okay? Stay engaged, stay together with them, and really amplify that energy. The other thing to really reflect on, two other things on your I am, is check in that you're not overdoing your heart and motivator values, because when we do, we can kind of catch ourselves and know it. So it helps us to be really aware of how we actually could be overdoing certain parts of ourselves that could actually be stressing us out. And I find a lot of people actually have values that if they went overdoing them at the top of their I am, would actually irritate themselves in their bedrock. So we're stressing ourselves out. So you can pick apart the top two layers of your I am and think, okay, if I overdid these, would any of that reaction or that feeling actually create the opposite of my bedrock values? And then finally, check your uncompromisable. So the values that are in the center of your reputational layer, these are your superpowers. They really align with your USP, how to really be you. You know, amplify them when you really want to have impact. You should be super known for these in your writing, in your presentations, in your conversations at work. But if you can't have these values in the center of your reputational layer, these uncompromisables, we can feel quite torn and compromised. We can get quite stubborn and dig in. And this can cause a lot of stress to ourselves. So challenge yourself. We've never been able to, you can't change who you are, but you can consciously choose to be the best version of yourself. So if you know that you're digging in and you know that actually this is causing you stress or anxiety or, you know, the situation worse, just regroup with your bedrock and know that your uncompromisables could be difficult. So really think about how, you know, using some of those tips, you actually create stress in your world. I know it's not a nice message and it's easy to fight back, but I can tell you, I promise you, you do some of those things and everything will start to shift, and then implement your I am and, you know, be your magic, and then everything will start to feel better and flow. So let's also have a look quickly at what you might be responsible for. So this is coming back to the accountability. Most created stress, I find, is either us overdoing our top heart and motivator values that's impacting other people where they're then reacting to it, or we're just not consciously managing our own accountability for the environment that we create around us. So, you know, we're just reacting, we're just being negative, we're just kind of like letting, you know, our mood be inflicted by the mood hoovers or whatever. So, you know, really be responsible and kind of just, you know, check in with yourself. Are you accountable for any of the stress that's being created in your world? So let's just coming back to I am. When you're under pressure, it's really easy to kind of fight it, you know, and then that whirling inside can begin. If in that moment that you felt pressure or stress, as we've talked about for use of that word, if you just paused and almost created a routine reaction to take the feeling of that fear, that doubt, that stress, that energy is really actually quite powerful stuff. In its negative sense, it means we can lash out, we can challenge, we can scream, hopefully not at work, but we can cry and scream and throw ourselves on the floor, etc. But that energy is so powerful that if you channeled it in that moment, you could be braver. You know, it's that what have you got to lose feel. Play with it next time you're under pressure. If you stepped into really being you, so you're being accountable as well, you know, you're being your best self, and you use that pressure to be more brave, to have more courage, to really be you and make more of a difference. Just, you know, a small risk. What would it take? What would happen? What would change? What conversations could you have? What ideas, what creativity could that start? Because I've really found that under pressure, when the pressure is really severe, you can actually take a leap of faith. And when we take a leap of faith, we're almost trusting and creating a completely new future. We're not relying on what we know from the past. So that doubt energy, that fear, that stress, that pressure, the next time it happens to you, pause, implement your bedrock, notice it. How can you harness that powerful energy to create a shift or say something that's really going to help somebody more profoundly, or launch a new product or idea, or just, you know, have a bit more strength in what you're thinking and your conviction. So all in all, the more challenged we are, the more resilient we will be. And your I am is there to remind you to be yourself and what makes you unique. Often our reaction to pressure and stress is to run, not want it, to hide. But actually, it's worth spending some time looking through the lens of pressure and stress at your I am and train your eyes to look from the bottom up. And what should happen is as you're reading up your I am and you're reading the titles and you're reading the descriptions, everything should start to feel more comfortable, even more exciting. Because when you're actually recognizing and being you in that moment, You can see how you can use stress, mitigate pressure, take people with you, get creative, learn something, bring new knowledge, be the one that buttons it down and summarizes things. So really looking at your I am through the lens of pressure, what do you need? What must you never react as? When you think about your bedrock and uncompromisables, what are you holding back on? Are you really being them? Score them when you're under pressure or when you're with somebody who stresses you out, you know, or things aren't working on the terms that you want them to. Think about a stressful scenario, get it out, score it. What's happening? What's changed? What's shifted? What do you need? What don't you need? And it's a personalized strategy that you need, coming from the bedrock and then closing with the heart value. So I hope that's been useful to reflect on and think about when you think about actually, you know, Stress Awareness Month. But stress generally is something that actually we need to be much more conscious of. We need to use it, harness it, manage our emotional response, and actually really see how we deal with life and work through the lens of our values so that we can really harness being ourselves. So this month, I've also on the I Am A Monthly included a download of an infographic for the ultimate list of who you are not, which is a great thing to remind yourself of. You can use it as a screensaver or share it with your team just to remind all of us that actually we're not our self-doubt or a letter or a number or a colour or a, you know, a set of scenarios culturally or our background or who we perhaps what we do, you know, our job role and those things, that actually we're all unique. You can also ask and queue up for a LinkedIn banner that features your I am, so you can get in touch through there. And there's the usual hints and tips and reminders featuring your values to be you. So go and use who you are to make your difference. See your work as an opportunity to experience yourself and make a difference in your life. Go and be you.